We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We will be at the Beaumont on Tuesday afternoon, joined by Councilman Pat Young. He's going to be running for Baltimore County Executive. We're going to talk military and military takeovers of cities, as well as probably eat the lamb chops because my tastiness countdown had the lobster but not the lamb chops, and my wife said, you got to get the lamb chops in. So I brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have some pressure lucks and lucky sevens. I'm gonna have the Raven scratch offs by Tuesday as well. When Barrister Chad Koz joins me for seventh grade social studies as well. This guy once taught me punting, being left-handed, brotherly spirit, and what it was like to be that guy from Cleveland who was drafted here to play football here in Baltimore, and then went back to Cleveland. And if you're watching that on the video, you'll see that he actually overlooks Cleveland from his job site. My wife said to me, whatever happened to Dave Zastedal? And I said, what's he doing now? And then he comes on the video, and you used to come on with like helmets behind you and sort of your club basement somewhere near Berea. And now, like, you're a hotshot in a big building in downtown Cleveland. What are you doing with your life, Dave Zastedal?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Nestor. I am now the managing director at a large insurance brokerage called Oswald Companies, headquartered in Cleveland. And it's ironic because we're part of a network of seven independently owned insurance brokerages. One of our partners is RCM&D in Baltimore. So I'm on the phone with RCM&D all the time. So they've been a great partner, diehard Ravens fans, and it's fun to have the not only the business connection, but just talk football here and there.
Look, I'll get to the football in a minute, and we'll talk Joe. We'll talk about all this, but like, what is an insurance pro? Like, just fill me, educate people on the fact that you're not the dumb punter, that you're more like the smart kicker.
Yeah, my role is really in charge of all property and casualty insurance brokerages, whether it's local, regional, national, international. Our insurance firm really is made up of four business units. I run the property and casualty division. There is group benefits, life insurance, and then retirement services. And so, our network of firms ranges from Oswald in Cleveland to RCM&D in Baltimore down to NSI in Florida and out to Gibson Insurance out in Indianapolis. And there's a few in between that. But our model really is all independently owned insurance brokerages firms that really don't want to get gobbled up by, some of the larger global firms. And we love the independency. We think it's a good value prop for our clients. So that's really what I've been doing since I retired from football almost 11 years ago.
Good thing you went to school, huh?
I think school helped a little bit. But insurance is really a relationship business. You got, people, whether they're it's home, their autos, their businesses, they got to have an insurance broker they trust. And we try to really provide not only good service, but also our expertise. So yeah, it's been a good business. Great connections, great relationships I've built. But more to come on that, but I think we're here to talk football, right?
Yeah, when you came into this thing, like I used to bring you out and do the show, and you were always good at explaining things, and you had been a quarterback, so you saw the game sort of in a different way. Left-handed, certainly saw the game in a different way, in that way, and all of that. But I mean, you had this Baltimore Cleveland thing. I mean, we're honoring Ozzie on the field. The media guys I talked to in Cleveland are all up in arms that like we're rubbing Cleveland's nose in it, again. And you're coming back with Flacco. I mean, and it looked good last weekend. It didn't look like bad Browns. It looked like capable Browns, not 13-point underdog Browns, but sort of like, hey, man, you better put the helmets on the right way this week. And certainly what happened to the Ravens on Sunday night, it's kind of a juicier Browns Ravens game than the garden variety Browns Ravens game, for me at least, because I think most people didn't think Flacco was ever going to come back here and play again like this.
Oh yeah, I think both teams, in my opinion, felt that they should have won the game. I mean, if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, the Browns held Joe Burrow to 7 net yards in the second half, missed an extra point, missed the game-winning field goal, had two tipped interceptions. I mean, if you look, actually watch the game, and I'm sure John Harbaugh is saying this to his team, if I was him, that the Browns certainly pretty much should have won that game. They dominated the game. And then you look at the Ravens-Bills game, hype game, night game. Buffalo coming back. Ravens certainly probably felt that they should have pulled away with that win. Now you have the Browns coming to Baltimore. Not only is it a division game, which is huge, you're this early in the season, but it's also the 30-year anniversary. Ozzie Newsome, I talk to Hanford Dixon all the time, the top dog here. him and Ozzie are very good friends, and I always ask about Ozzie and ask how he's doing. So it's really good to catch up. I still have some friendships in the Ravens organization, and it certainly is kind of building into that kind of fiery game. I think a 11.5, 12.5 point underdog, the Browns will certainly, kind of look at that as probably being a little disrespectful, but they're going to go. And Brian Billick taught us this a long time ago. Whenever you go on the road in a hostile environment, you have to take it as a business trip. Go in, get your business done, and just get out. And I think that's what Kevin Stefanski is probably telling the team is it's going to be electric. It's their 30-year anniversary. It's a home. It's Lamar Jackson. It's all that. They're coming off a loss. They want to avenge that loss. We have to look at this as a business trip. So I'm excited for the game.
Well, part of the business is going to be defensively Jim Schwartz putting together a game plan and having some pieces that have bothered Lamar in the past. I think when you prep for Lamar twice a year, every year for several years, it's that benefit that NFC teams rarely have, which is why Lamar's freight trained a lot and boat raced a lot of NFC teams over these 8 years. But the Browns have always played this thing a little differently. Defensively, with Lamar, with Derrick Henry, with what they're trying to do here and what Todd Monken's trying to do, can the Browns play with that all day?
Well, it's a good question. I think, what fans kind of fail to realize is the strength of the Browns right now is most likely on their defensive line. They brought in Mason Graham, first round draft pick, Myles Garrett, everybody knows what he does. They have some revolving doors on the other defensive end. Carson Schwestinger, this rookie out of UCLA, has just been fantastic so far in preseason and mini or training camp and now in the first game. It's a shame the Browns lost JOK to injury with that neck injury this year, because if you line those two guys up, your defense is stacked pretty good. Then you look at their secondary, Denzel Ward. Jim Schwartz thinks he's the best cornerback in football. Greg Newsome had a really good game on Lamar Chase, limited 25 yards. So I think Jim Schwartz and Todd Monken are probably going to be watching a little bit more film and planning for this a little bit more than they usually do. Because, I mean, it's no secret here in Cleveland, Lamar Jackson is just he's an X factor. The guy could do everything. But I do expect the Browns to limit Derrick Henry. They just can't afford to have those big, long chunk yards that Derrick Henry can do if he gets to that second level. So it'll be interesting, really, to see the game plan that Jim Schwartz has. But there's no secret that, that Ravens offense can be explosive.
You know, the Ravens offense looks sharp for three quarters, and then it's punt, fumble, punt when it mattered. The Ravens defense was okay. You know, it was 25 points at one point before it was 41 points. So it certainly was far from perfect. Special teams weren't very good either. Missed a kick, a 1 point in a 1 point game after all the Tucker nonsense that happened here in the offseason. And I look at it and say, Cleveland, after the first two drives, things tightened up there a little bit for the Browns and how they play defense and what they're capable. I keep going back to the word capable, what they're capable of doing in this game. And I, the first week, there was a lot of ring rust. And even Marlon Humphrey talked about we're not mature yet in that we don't all know our responsibilities because we haven't gone out and played football. Browns went out and did it against Joe Burrow in sort of a concrete way. And to your point, Flacco. He hit the guy between and the re, and the ball goes up in the air, and the next thing you know, it's an interception. They played well enough to win. This game should concern Ravens fans here. That's where I've been on this all week, Zasty.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough, to be honest with you, to really judge a team after 1 week. You could tell Cincinnati had some, timing issues. They came out a little flat in the second half, and obviously there's always halftime adjustments. But now that everybody got that first game under their belt, I think you'll start seeing teams open up a little bit more on doing some things maybe they didn't do in week one, trying to establish the run, which Baltimore really did. I think the bright spot here in Cleveland is, Harold Fannin and Dylan Sampson, these rookies, and Carl Schwestinger, they really showed up in that first week. So everybody's a little bit, not surprised, but really appreciative that these rookies are already, coming out and playing that well. Joe Flacco, on the other hand, I mean, he loves the Kevin Stefanski offense. It's built for everything he does. It's, you got two tight end sets. They love the run, to set up the pass, the play action, and it just fits his profile really well. And the thing about Joe Flacco is, he doesn't really look any different than he did years ago. He's still got a rifle arm. If you look at that game in Cincinnati, he was super accurate. The interceptions really were just on in and out of the hands of receivers that typically don't drop those balls. So I think the Browns have a lot of confidence in how they performed when they watched that tape to come in. But coming into Baltimore, I mean, I've played there for years. It is a tough place to win, and especially with the 30-year anniversary. There's going to be a lot of emotions. A lot of the fans are going to get really into it. So,
Think Ray's gonna dance?
I think if he does, I think it'll be something that wouldn't be surprising to me. But I think it'll get that fan, the fans even off their seats more than they probably already will.
Well, Dave Zastittle is our guest. He's out in Cleveland. If you're not watching on the video to see the stadium behind him, are you still doing radio there or no? You don't do color anymore, no?
I don't do much anymore. I do get calls from some of my colleagues that are on the morning shows, 92.3 The Fan, Ken Carmen, some of those guys on some special teams questions. They'll text me on some things. But with my full-time job now and the kids in sports and school, it's a little too much. It would be too much for me to do at this time, but
How
I'd
many
certainly
kids?
enjoy it.
What do you got? Kids? School? Come on, you can't just say, I'm not going to not let you plug your kids if they're playing sports.
Yeah, five kids. My oldest is a senior in high school. I got a freshman, an eighth grader, and I got identical twin boys that are six that are at that age, just in everything, right? So I'm trying to coach, trying to work, trying to do all those things, but I can't complain. Life's really good for me right now.
Trying to be the washed-up Raven and Brown that comes back as the alum and tells us things here, spends 20 minutes back in Baltimore. You and I had fun here. We had
Oh,
fun
yeah.
when you went back. You've had this fun life with kids. And I mean, and I see this, whether it's Mike Flynn and his family, he's putting a kid in college now, and all of you of that era. Flacco was my all-time favorite dude ever. And to think that he's still doing this, it makes me want to go to the game this week. And they, pretty much threw me out of the Kevin Byrne press box. So I have an affinity for Joe in a way that this week, it's sort of like Wonderland to think that he could actually come back and beat them this week. Dave, can he come back and beat them this week? I mean, can they run the ball? Can they play responsibly? You talk about all of those fundamental two tight end sets and the things that Joe does well. They know he's going to do it. Now, can they stop it? Right? The Bengals knew he was going to do it last week, and they had a hard time stopping it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've been around the game a long time. I mean, anything can happen week to week in the NFL. The Browns certainly are capable if they play their A game, they don't turn the ball over, and they get help from special teams to have a chance to win the game. I mean, and I'm sure Baltimore would be saying the same thing on their side. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a chance they could. It's always tough to win on the road. I think, we always were taught in the NFL, broad speaking, is you win at home and split on the road, you're a playoff team. And I think that's probably exactly what. John Harbaugh is probably on the team is, hey, we got to win at home. We got to protect our turf. It's funny you mentioned Mike Flynn. I still talk to Mike all the time. Great friend of mine. And I always tell people all the time. I said at the time I was a Raven that I'd had no intentions. Always want to finish my career there and continue in there. But I had an opportunity to play for a team that I grew up with my dad, grandpa going to, and it just was a very unique situation. But I tell people all the time. Sam Cook was arguably one of the best punters I've ever seen play. So me leaving and you guys getting Sam Cook probably worked out in your favor. So I think everybody was a win-win in that situation.
So as I see the stadium over your shoulder that I've been to so many times, I feel bad I didn't go to that Def Leppard Journey show last year when it was out there at Blossom, because I drove out to Cleveland for a couple days to see Sammy Hagar. Blossom was unbelievable. I love the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I came down to Tremont and had breakfast with Munch Bishop at Lucky's Cafe, one of my favorite places. Get the scones, they're delicious. Get the shipwreck. But the stadium and downtown Cleveland, and I was telling stories about being in the flats in the 90s and running into Eddie
Oh,
Murray.
yeah.
Cal Ripken last week at the Hooters down there, and the basement, and in my youth being there when the All-Star game was there, and the 30th anniversary of the Indians being in the World Series is next month. So I've had great experiences in Cleveland. I'm sure I said that to you when we were younger, 30 years ago when you were playing here. I would just say for the stadium being there, I would think politically there, that's a effing nightmare. The thought that they would move the Ravens to Hunt Valley or Owings Mills or Bel-Air or Columbia or Glen Burnie or the Orioles to any of the above is really weird. And they pulled that stunt in Atlanta, moving the baseball team out, and I can go down the racial line on that all day long because I've been to Atlanta for all my life. But the Cleveland thing's really weird because the Cavaliers played out in the middle of nowhere in Richfield forever. The Blast used to go out there and play the Force on the Crunch. And I've been to the Convocation Center. I saw Meatloaf at the Convocation Center. I saw Motley Crue and Cheap Trick at the Convocation Center as well. I mean, I've been coming to Cleveland forever, but the notion that they're going to take that sacred ground down there, the mistake on the lake and Jim Brown, like everything that happened there, and move the stadium out by the airport. I'm trying to understand it, and I know Goodell's going to give him a Super Bowl and all. You're the smartest guy I know, and you overlook the stadium. I mean, the wind's weird out there politically in a lot of ways, right?
I mean, it's a, the stadium, I think it was a 30-year lease. The problem with the Cleveland Browns Stadium is I think when they kind of, I wouldn't say they rushed to build it, but it's at a point now where if you look at all the new stadiums being built all across the NFL, I mean, this is, it's an experience. It's a fan experience. That's what everybody wants. And, there really isn't a lot of land where the stadium is behind me. The parking is really difficult. Even season ticket holder that has season ticketers have parked, you got to go way off East 55th, come down on a one-way road, and it's not easy. And I think what the Haslam Sports Group looked at was, A, they couldn't put a dome in downtown. They if they were going to do remodeling, it was up to 600 million. It just wasn't going to create the environment that I think they wanted to last for many, many years. And I think when they looked at what they're doing in Berea, where their facility is, they're adding on a whole wing of like a mini stadium that youth football can use. They're adding a bunch of medical buildings there and resources around that. Then if you put the stadium in Brook Park, which is shoot, it's 5, 10 minutes down the road, everything is right there. It's probably 15 minutes from Cleveland. You
It's
have
2 minutes
accepted
from the airport, which is one of the
2 minutes from
problems.
the airport, and you're put a building a state-of-the-art facility that arguably would be the number one, stadium really at the time it's built. And it's got massive amount of opportunities for great parking. They're going to build like almost like a mini suburb around it with restaurants and all. So there's a lot of spark here about the economic activity that can bring really
Well, the New
compared to
England
more.
model, right? I
Yeah,
mean,
the New England
right.
model. Yeah. So you're always going to have the people that it's always got to be downtown. It's got to be in the lake. It's traditions. But you also have some people that are seeing these things and going, holy cow, this could bring Super Bowls. It could bring national soccer. It could bring concerts. It could bring a lot of things to Northeast Ohio. And I think it's getting a little bit more people on the train when they're seeing these renderings of what it could be.
Yeah, well, I want to see it in Cleveland because I don't want to fly into Hopkins and in a future life, well, I guess when Bisciotti doesn't own the team or whatever media becomes where nobody wants to answer questions or have people qualify people like me to ask them after games. But if I flew in to Cleveland in the future into the airport and stayed at the courtyard next to the stadium and walked in and out, I would have gone to Cleveland and never gone to Cleveland. And I think part of this is the Hall of Fame being near there. Makes a really interesting pathway, and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for people like me that love music and want to come downtown, or people that want to avoid downtown can't avoid downtown, and I think that that's very unfortunate because I'll say this, Dave, I'll leave you with this because what year were you born? I'm not Googling you. What year
I
were
was
you born?
1978.
78. So you're 10 years younger than me. You without question remember the Elway Drive game, correct?
Yeah,
You were
Elway,
a
the Buy
boy,
the Fool,
right?
all that. Oh yeah, that was our youth. Yeah, that's still a tough talking point here in Cleveland.
I got out of bed that day, and Phil Jackman picked me up in his Nissan Sentra. We went down to the airport. And we flew on a United Airlines flight at 6:05. We landed at 7:05 at Hopkins. We got on the RTA. We came into Center City, Tower City, up. Hey, it's Christmas Story, Ralphie, the whole
Oh, yeah.
deal. We walked to the church right up. And because Jackman was a very religious, we're going to church. Don't be a heathen. That's my Jackman. He was from Worcester, Mass. We lost Phil last year. He was talk about crazy uncles in my life. So Phil and I go into the church at 8 a.m. for the service, and we're in there, and half the place is wearing dog masks. You can tell Dixon, Minifield, any of those guys, Ozzie,
Yeah.
everybody's in there wearing dog masks. And we walk from the church past the Q's Steakhouse, John Q Steakhouse, down a hill over. I'd never been to Cleveland in my life. I'd never been anywhere in my life. I was 17 years old. And I had a 50-yard line ticket that Ernie Accorsi had gotten me for that game. And I went out wearing orange because I wanted to fit in between Denver and Cleveland. And I sat in section 10, 50-yard line lower, and I watched Elway go into the end zone. I took the RTA back to the airport that night. So I go back to downtown football, and that's just the beginning of the beginning. I was there when they were ripping the seats out, and we stole the team. I was there when the team came back. I've been there all these years with you. I've
Sure.
seen a lot of football in downtown Cleveland. I don't think I want to come to Cleveland and have a suburban village instead of coming to downtown Cleveland. I mean, that's how I
Yeah.
feel about it, and I'm a
No,
tourist.
yeah. Yeah, a lot of the old school guys that grew up with the Municipal Stadium and the 99 team that came back. I mean, yeah, those are you're getting a lot of history and memories that they love going downtown and doing that. But I do think with people coming in from out of town, I still think they'll stay downtown. They'll see Cleveland. There's a lot to do here now with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You got great restaurants, great theater district. The Flats is what it is. And it's about a 12 to 15 minute yard drive down there, or excuse me, minute drive down there. So, there's only a certain amount of places you can stay around that stadium. So I do think the city will still get some out of town tourists involved in these games, but it's certainly a hot topic, on the fans on which route they like. But I think once they commit to this, I think we're just going to have to get on board and try to support the new era of Browns football.
I came out there for the Agora. I came out there for the
Were you?
old. Listen, man, the old baseball stadium, the new baseball stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I've been out there for World Series games. I've been out there for all. I've been out there for Billy Joel. I've been out there for every. I'll keep coming to Cleveland. I love you folks. You know this, Dave, right?
Oh, I know. And I think what's really cool about, the city here and, everybody really, to be honest with you, we have our rivals, right? The city does with the AFC North and all that, but I think everybody respects the league. They respect the other fans because everybody's the same. I mean, you look at, the Steelers when the Browns left, they had, rallies to try to get the Browns back into Cleveland because they love the rivalry so much. So, these games, Baltimore, Cleveland coming up on Sunday, it's just so good for the fans. It's so good for the sport. And I love it for the cities because, we're all, somewhat small towns, small cities, and it's just the excitement to see people on the weekends getting where Ravens, Browns, and the old Browns, new Browns, it still never dies. And it's going to be a fun weekend, that's
I
for sure.
loved watching downtown Cleveland come to life, whether I was staying at the Key Marriott, whether I was staying up around the corner, up by the restaurant row up there. I mean, the bowling alley in the corner now. You think I haven't seen a show at the Playhouse? Come on, man.
Yeah,
I've been.
you know the history here more than I. They don't have the basement. They don't have Hooters anymore. The Flats did get revamped, but that was the old
Yeah, it's
90s,
got
which
like
I
a
believe.
Margaritaville now with like
Yeah,
frozen
Punch Bowl,
shrimp.
Social, and all these breweries. We just wish the weather would stay longer because it's
I
kind of
don't
fun
need
sitting
all
down
that
here.
bougie nonsense. Give me a John Q's prime rib for crying out loud and a proper onion and a martini. Dave Zastittle is here. He's new school, old school, one of the few.
Yeah.
Brownie and a Raven, a Brownie and a Raven. So, I got, listen, I've been honoring the old Colts all week. So I'm doing all my old
Yeah.
helmets here. I'm even doing like old belt buckles I'm not allowed to show for Cleveland. So
Still miss the logo. Still
for
miss that logo.
you Guardians fans out there and all that, this thing never had a logo. And everybody's using that Keebler elf from 1946. I don't understand that, Dave,
It's like any organization. They put out these surveys of the fans, and the fans pick, and they try to make the fans happy. But the helmet, we're just happy that they went back to the original face mask. We went through the gray face mask, the dark brown face mask. Now it's back to the orange and white, which is the old good times that we really had here
You know
in
what
Cleveland.
really uniform that they should be wearing? If it was good enough for Jim Brown, wear that one. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all I would say. If Jim Brown wore it, it's good enough to wear this Sunday. That's what I would
Yeah,
say.
those are they do use the orange pants. I think they did it at home the first week. They try to mix it up a little bit more than when I was there. But those
Something
uniforms
about
they
the
went
way
through.
Ozzie looked from Brian's site that looked a lot sexier than whatever Flacco is going to walk out. Pajamas he's going to walk out in here on Sunday. So, that's me being a get off my lawn, old school laundry guy. That's
Hey,
all.
I'll tell you what, they would wear pink here if they meant they would have a winning season. That's how thirsty these fans are for some consistency. But it's they'll keep doing variety uniforms. They always do.
Yeah, if I had a Wacko for Flacco sign or a See Joe Throw sign that I used to give out at the games, I'll pull them out. But they'd be purple this week. But it is an
Yeah.
it's an interesting game, and this is all I'm going to say, Dave, as we get away. This is for the Ravens fans. Watch out for Myles Garrett. Just don't let him wreck the game. That's all I would say on the Ravens side of things. Take care of yourself. My thanks to you. Lots of kids, five kids, big job, corner office, all that. I'm going to call you next time I come in to go to Lucky's at Tremont. Next time I go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when they're displaying something that's going to get me on a plane and there's a show out there or something. But I love coming to Cleveland, man. I
Yeah.
miss coming to Cleveland on
Well, I
this tour. I
appreciate you
do.
always reaching out to me and staying connected to me and your show. It's always fun to talk. I had wonderful members in Baltimore. I think it's a wonderful town. Great. I tell people all the time, I still get gifts from Baltimore from their Legends Club, which is just, so thankful. But it's a top-notch organization, always has been.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there ever comes a time for me, you, and your brother to rekindle a few Super Bowl beers, I'm down with that. So, Dave Zastittle joining us here from the Oh, How We're Gonna Hate Ohio, in Northern Ohio, as the Cleveland Browns come in, looking to sort of wreck things for John Harbaugh here at 0-1. It's been a tough week. Luke's been at the castle all week. Any breaking news happens first on the WNST Tech Service. That is brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. GBMC sponsoring the hotline, trying to get me a colonoscopy before the fall is over. So I'm trying to be a good 56, almost 57-year-old man here with old friends who kicked footballs for a living and now like run around with their kids and work in the insurance business in Cleveland. I'm Nestor.
Fun
We are
days,
W.
man. Fun days.
Well, I told my wife I think Zastittle's a suit, and I'm not wrong. But you look good. You look marvelous, is what I would say if I were Billy
You
Crystal.
don't look your age either, so
Well,
we're gonna
hold on.
continue to try
Because
here.
I'm in Cleveland and you're my last segment of the week, I'm gonna let my rock and roll hair down. Because I didn't even do that for you. I didn't
Look
let
at
my
that. Oh,
rock
I
and
was
roll hair
noticing it
out.
was in some kind of bun and stuff, but
Yeah, well, it looks a little silly right now. That's why I'm gonna go. He's Dave
that.
Zastittle. I'm Nestor. Football Sunday at 1 o'clock. I love football season.